Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for all you are and all you're doing. And we especially thank you, Father God, that you're in this sanctuary tonight, ministering to your people, doing exactly what they need done in their lives. Father, this morning there was so much pain in this church. And I know you wept over your people. And I'm asking, Father God, that tonight you rain down upon the people. Bring them new refreshing. Bring them to a place of total surrender to you, that you can take all the pain from them, Father, and let them live in security in you. And Father, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God wants revival to break out in the earth. But what's in the center of this revival is discovering the person of Jesus. And it's a shame that God has to have the church discover who Jesus Christ is at this late stage of the game. We should already know who Jesus is. We should already be acting like Jesus. But that isn't how it goes. This is why Jesus has been having me teach you about how you should act, so that you'll represent Jesus Christ when you're out there in the world. So tonight I'm just asking you to really, truly settle your spirits down. Let him come in the way he's ever come in before. Let him be that peace that passes all understanding. You know, when you're controlled by Jezebel's spirits and by your own flesh, you don't have Jesus in you. You can't act like Jesus acts because Jesus didn't have any of that in him. And it's time that we start really, truly getting ourselves set free so that God can use us for this end time army. I would really feel very sad if we were passed by and others were chosen to do the work that we were chosen to do. And yet, you know, we sit here and say, oh, well, God's going to choose me. No, that's not necessarily true. If you aren't getting yourself cleaned up, if you aren't being the child of God that you're called to be, he doesn't have to use you. He won't use you. He'll pass you by, and he'll choose somebody else. The house of God is rebellious and stiff-necked. It really is. And God's been asking the house of God to get out of the rebellion, get out of their stiff-neckedness, but so far that hasn't worked. What's it going to take to get the house of God to get to the place where God's been calling us for so many years now? Very serious. You really have to think about this. Tonight I'm going to talk about the real Easter story. I had this title, Let's Go to Hell, but I thought, well, that's a little drastic, so I'll change the title. Yeah. So anyhow, many Christians who celebrate Passover and the death of Christ have no idea or understanding of the depths of what they are celebrating. Some only see the events surrounding Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension through a historical perspective. To them, these aspects are only a creed, a dogma, and a story whose realities are dimmed by a lack of revelation. You know, if you really, really, really knew what Jesus did, you wouldn't be acting the way you are. So that goes to prove that statement. There is some awe-inspiring truth surrounding the death of Jesus Christ. In a real sense, Jesus went through the same awful experience that a sinner must go through who dies without God. What did he say on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? And you know, a sinner is totally forsaken, and they die an awful death. He became sin and was forsaken by God. Now, if he became sin and was forsaken by God, what do you think the people in the house of God are is going to happen to them that are in sin? You think God's going to say, oh, pat you in the back, say, oh, I just understand, you just didn't want to die to your flesh. He's not going to say that. When he died, he did not ascend to heaven into the presence of the Father, but he descended into Hades. On the cross, he told one of the criminals who was crucified beside him in Luke 23:43, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. In Old Testament times, paradise was known as Abraham's bosom, which was situated in the heart of the earth. It was below and not above. It was only after the resurrection and the establishment of the new covenant in Christ's blood that paradise was transferred or translocated to the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12:3-4 says, "And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for man to utter." He was caught up into paradise. When Jesus died, his spirit left his body and descended into the heart of the earth. The Bible said he also preached to the spirits in prison. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." All the people on the earth, only eight souls were saved, and it was only because of righteous Noah that his family was saved. So first, Jesus told the criminal on the cross that he would be with him in paradise. And then, here, it says that Jesus preached to the disobedient spirits in prison. In other words, it is pretty clear that Jesus Christ appeared and ministered in both compartments of Hades. If you will recall the account Jesus told in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, he spoke of those two compartments that were separated by a great gulf. Jesus was the first human being who was able to cross over into both of them. While there, he seized the keys of Hades and death. Revelation 1:18, "I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." This verse is the reason Christ was able to go from one compartment of Hades to the other. We have the picture out there, you know, where Abraham's reaching over to the rich man. He could commune with the righteous where Abraham, Lazarus, and I start that again. This verse is the reason Christ was able to go from one compartment of Hades to the other. He could commune with the righteous where Abraham, Lazarus, and the Old Testament saints were. And he could cross over to the other compartment where the rich man and the disobedient spirits were. He overcame Satan and stripped him of his authority and took back the keys of Hades and death. And this is why we should be shouting, because he is alive and it is finished. Jesus paid the ultimate price and it is finished. After 3 days, when Jesus Christ finally ascended, he led captivity captive. In other words, he didn't ascend alone. He took the captives who were in the righteous compartment of Hades and ascended up with them into the presence of God in the third heaven where paradise now is. Now was. Therefore, he says in Ephesians 4:8-10, When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. But before ascending into the immediate presence of God, he made a stop on the earth. Isn't that what we read this morning? And displayed his marvelous wisdom and grace. He not only announced his resurrection and ascension to Mary in John 20:17, commissioning her to go and tell his other disciples the great and joyful news, that many other Old Testament saints also arose with him, came out of their graves. Then they went into Jerusalem and appeared to many. Matthew 27:51-53 says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep," that means died, "were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Now that itself is an awesome thing that Jesus did. What do you think their relatives thought? Amen. You know, sometimes when people die, They go to hell. But because they fight and yell and scream and carry on like a fool, Jesus Christ pulls them up out of hell, takes them up into heaven, and talks to them. So they descended, then they ascended up into heaven, and then they tell how Jesus talked to them for a season, told them what they were supposed to be doing and why they went to hell to begin with and why he pulled them up out of hell. And this is all while they were dead. And then he sent them back to earth with a message to minister for him. Now, right there, those people did the same thing that Jesus did. When he died, he descended into hell. And then after he fought the devil and his crew, he got the keys, and then he ascended back up to earth. But before he went to the Father, he made a stop along the way, talked to his disciples and a lot of other people, and then finally he said, now I go to my Father. Then he continued his ascension, went up to the Father, and he hasn't come down since. What we are doing in this dispensation is we are the second John the Baptist preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. He is going to come back to earth again, but he's going to come back as a triumphant king. He's not going to be beat and hanging on a cross. He's going to come back riding on that white horse, splitting the clouds wide open and calling his people home. Now, Jesus went through all that mess he went through, all that persecution, all that pain, so that one day, this day would happen, that he would be able to return back again and receive his children to himself. Now that is a mighty powerful thing that Jesus Christ did for us. He's not asking us to go through all the suffering that he went through. He is not. He's just asking you to die out to your flesh. He's just asking you to quit sinning because he paid the price for sin. He's asking you to walk in love. Forgiveness, grace, mercy. That's all he's asking you to do. He's not telling you you're going to get beat to death or beat to the point you wish you were dead. He's saying, just die to your flesh. Just give it all to me. You know, when God spoke 15, 16 years ago that the gross darkness was going to cover the earth, I didn't really understand what he was saying, but I do now because the sin that has covered the earth is terribly, terribly dark and dreary. That sin is so bad it has seeped into the house of God and has poisoned the children of God to the place where they want to sin rather than serve God. That's a sad state that the church is in. The world has more sense than the church because they're out there. They're not pretending to be something they're not. They're out there steeped in sin, and you ask, and I know I'm a sinner and on my way to hell. But the church said, well, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to heaven. Well, all the time they're not. Because they think they can sin and still sit in the house of God. You can't do that. Jesus didn't go through everything he went through so you could continue to sin. He did what he went through so you could be set free from sin. Come on. How about Mary Catherine Baxter, who God took her to hell for 40 days and nights? Then at one point, he left her alone in hell. She was terrified at what she saw. And finally, Jesus came back to her. I would not want to be left alone in hell without Jesus. You know, but the rich man, when he died, didn't he say to the Father, send somebody to my son so that they don't come here. He said, no, if they don't believe the prophets, they aren't going to believe anybody else. You know, the rich man knew if this was a terrible place to be. Hell was a terrible place. He did not want his sons to come there. But God said, no, they wouldn't believe the people I sent to them. And they won't believe somebody raising from the dead either. And isn't that the truth? Some people have hardened their hearts to the point that there's nothing more God can do for them because he's done everything, showed them everything, given them everything, and they still insist upon sinning. A shame. This is Resurrection Day. This is He is Risen Day. This is We Are Free Day, but yet the body of Christ still sits in bondage. You can do all the deliverance you want on a person, but they don't really want to be set totally free. You're never going to get them set totally free. If they want to hold on to one little thing, that little thing will keep them right out of hell, and that little thing will keep them bound in that prison of darkness. It's time that we understand what Jesus is all about. It's time that we understand we're supposed to be just like Jesus. And it's time that we start changing our lives. I wept here today, sitting here watching the people, because there's so much pain inflicted by their loved ones, inflicted by the body of Christ. And that isn't why Jesus did what he did. We're supposed to be loving, and we're supposed to be kind and compassionate, but I don't see that in the body of Christ. Amen? I really don't. Where am I at? This is spectacular. Is that where I'm at? This is okay, you know it. The whole story must be told. Now at death, all believers ascend immediately into the presence of God. Now hear what we say here. The whole story must be told. Now at death, all believers ascend immediately into the presence of God. This is believers, not sinners. Hell and death have been defeated. We are free. In the light of Christ's invisible journey, perhaps now these words of Paul will have deeper meaning. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're free. You're free sitting here this evening. You do not have any excuse to be in sin. None. You're free. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for your freedom. I don't know why I do the things I don't want to do. That's what Paul said, right? Well, I'm sorry, but the body of Christ has been saying it for too many years now. And sometimes when I pray for people, God said, don't pray that way because they're doing what they're doing because they really want to do it. They calculate this thing out and then they go ahead and do it. It's not that you're doing the things you don't want to do. It's the thing you're doing the things you really want to do. And then you see a lot of people use that verse in Scripture saying, well, look what Paul said. Yes, I know what Paul said. But come on, church, you've been in church too long. You can't hang on that scripture. It's not going to cut it. God is saying, get over that scripture and get yourself together. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us remember the reality of these events. The only way into the kingdom of God is through the atoning blood of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. The only way into the kingdom of God is through the atoning blood of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. This kingdom of God holds unlimited mysteries of divine revelations to his own, those who have chosen him. Matthew 7:6 says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. God gave me that scripture one time when I was trying to minister to somebody, and he said, just walk away. Just walk away. Don't give your pearls to the swine. They don't want to hear it. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth about the Father. They don't want to hear the truth about what Jesus Christ did. Because they still want to walk in their flesh. You know, this should be a happy day, but it's been a sad day all day. Because Jesus is weeping over his church. That did not, and will not receive what Jesus Christ did for them. That's sad. We used to be able to really feel at peace at Easter time. We used to really be able to be joyful at Easter time, but not so anymore. The darkness has come into the house of God, has poisoned the saints of God to the point where they are grieving the heart of God. Come on, saints. Let's not be one of those. Please, let's not be one of those. Somebody was sitting in the church today and they was weeping and I was sitting close to him and I was really seeking God's face for a word for them. And I got up and said to the person, I really want to tell you it's going to be all right, but I can't because God said you're going to have to go through this. I hated to give that to her. But it's not going to be all right. See, I couldn't get up and say, it's going to be all right. It's okay. I couldn't do that. As much as I wanted to. Because it's not going to be all right. See, we lie to one another. We try to make each other feel good, and that's not a good thing. Amen. I'm going to tell what God did with me with Aaron. He kept saying, go up and give Aaron a big hug. And I didn't. I said, he said, go give him a big hug. So I went up and gave him a big hug. And then he gave him a bad word. He said, you're going to suffer. And I said, God, you tricked me. You know, because I thought he was just going to love on him. He did. He told me how much he loved him, right? Then he said, you're going to suffer, but I'm going to be with you. You know, God is going to tell you the truth about yourself. But the body of Christ doesn't want to hear the truth. They want to hear, oh, it's okay, it's okay. It's not okay all the time. There are things we're going to have to go through that we never thought we'd ever have to go through. You know, one thing about Jesus, he knew from at the gate that he was going to have to go through this. Did he not? He knew all along what he was going to have to suffer in the end. But we're just so zealous for God. We say, here I am, Lord, use me. And we just go out there, you know, like little kids that don't have any sense. And all of a sudden, smacks you in the face, you know. And you think, what in the world is this? We didn't count the cost. Serving Jesus is painful. But it's the most delightful thing you ever do. Amen? Come on. This revelation, okay, we must become positioned. Where am I at? God does, okay. God does not reveal his hidden secrets and priceless treasures to just anyone in the world. We must become positioned to hunger for this great mysterious treasure trove of revelation. We must become positioned. This revelation is to be discovered by his passionate followers. His voice is the company of prophets that will always hear first what the Father is about to display in his kingdom. I heard first what was going to happen to poor Aaron. You know, I sit here really, and sometimes I hear some prophetic words going through, and I say, okay, and I'm hearing something just a little bit the opposite. So what the prophets are saying is true, but God showed me some other things that they're going to have to go through that he isn't bringing out at that given time. Why? Because he wouldn't be able to take it. And so he'll keep grooming you, and then he'll have somebody come and hug you, and then he'll say, okay, now you're ready to bear this. All right? Because I said this, another prophet here, I said, you know, I heard what you said to that person, but I heard something terribly different. And I don't know what this is all about, and that's how I know what I'm talking about, because I went home and I asked God about it. He said, I'm showing you what's going to be happening to them down the line. But I'm loving on them right now and telling them where I'm taking them to, which is the truth. But then later on, I'll tell them what I just told you because they're not ready to bear this yet. See what a sovereign God we have. That's why a lot of times you really don't want to hear my prophetic word over you. All right. So I'm going to go back here. This revelation is to be discovered by his passionate followers. His voice is the company of prophets that will always hear first what the Father is about to display in his kingdom. And all of his fivefold leaders and family of God. That's who he's going to speak to first. He's going to reveal to them what's going on. All right. Amos 3:7. The fact is, God the Master does nothing without first telling his prophets the whole story. Amen. Some prophets hear in part, according to this, and some hear the whole story, right? Come on. Now you're all sitting there, oh, okay, now what's going to come down the road? Well, just wait and let it come down the road. Don't worry about it. Just do like I did. I told Brother Al, there was things I went through I never thought I'd ever have to go through. I said, I went through hell. And you know, I said to God, why didn't you tell me this? And he said, because you wouldn't have carried the assignment. You would not have been able to endure it if you would have known what you were going to have to do to carry forth this assignment for me. So, you know, we just have to let God be God. Let him tell us what he wants to tell us, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we just have to follow him and go ahead and do everything he's calling us forth to do. Amen. Don't walk around like a chicken with your head stuck in the sand. Don't do that. Keep your head held high. Let God speak to you his secrets when he wants to speak them to you. And you just keep on going. Don't worry about what's coming down the road. God told me, daughter, you can only take one with what you're going to have to go through. You can only take one day at a time. I can't give you a week's message for yourself. One day at a time is how you're going to have to walk because it's going to be that dark. So I've been learned to walk one day at a time, take one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and God only knows what the next day is going to hold because he's the only one that does, right? It was a secret hidden from everyone. This meant that the meaning of life and history were totally mysterious. Jesus Christ, through his crucifixion and resurrection, revealed God's purposes to humanity. Before Jesus came, everything was a mystery. After Jesus came, the secrets were revealed. That purpose was to gather a great family of God, made up of all kinds of people with Christ as head. The Spirit takes the message of Christ and makes it come alive for the church, revealing the hidden purpose of God. You look at this church, there's all kind of people come in and out of this church. But God speaks to each and every one over and over and over again. Because he wants to reveal his secrets to them. He wants to tell them the secrets of what's going on in their life so they can keep on going. That's why a lot of people keep coming for word after word after word, because they're in a place where they can't make it without hearing a word from the Father. And that's why you have to be an accurate, on time, born again, holy, living person for God in order to be a prophet of God to give the correct word to the people, or else you're going to deceive them. Come on. I've told this story before. I really feel bad about Brother Christopher Gore's first marriage because God told me he shouldn't get married. But other prophets came to me and said, why did you tell him that? Because that's not true. God showed us he's supposed to get married. So I went to him and I said, well, Chris, I said, you know, Christopher, I said, these other prophets are coming to me and telling me I'm wrong. And I'm the only one telling you not to get married, and they're all telling you to get married. So I guess you should go ahead and get married. So he did. And he was not supposed to get married. See, that taught me a lesson. I will never again listen to other prophets. I know what I hear from God. And I'm going to, if I prophesy, I'm going to let it alone, because that was God speaking. And I don't care what you heard. I know what I heard. Amen? Come on. Sometimes we get zealous and we just want the person to get what they want. And so we allow the enemy to come in and give us a false prophetic word over them. And that leads them down the wrong path. Always remember that. Don't prophesy to somebody if I want them to get married. I want them to get married. I want them to get married. No, don't do that, because what's going to happen is not going to be God speaking through you. It's what you want them to do. When Brother Chris came and said he was going to think about getting married the second time, I said, don't come to me. I'm not going to prophesy into this life. But then lo and behold, God just took me over and prophesied to him and said it should be. But then they've been going through all kind of hell. And why are they doing that? Because it should be. And the enemy's trying to break it up. Right? See, we just don't even understand the prophetic. We really don't. It's because we're not totally, completely submitted to God in every area of our life. And then we start questioning, is this you, God? Is this my mind? Is this your voice? Or what am I hearing? And, you know, then we just sit there and we get all betwixt and between. Next thing you know, we're asking somebody else, what do you think God's saying about this? That's the wrong place to be. Don't ever say to somebody else, what do you think God's saying? They'll tell you what they're thinking is what they'll do. Let's leave it alone. Leave it totally alone and God will take care of it. All right, Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. Letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making, he set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. Let's go back and read that again. God was letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. Now, blessings were made known to believers by the Lord, showing to them the mystery of his sovereign will and the method of redemption and salvation. However, these would have been forever hidden from us if God had not made them known by his written word, preached gospel, and spirit of truth. This is why you need to get in your word. You need to read your word for yourself. Well, I mean, that's what you should do. Some people can twist the scriptures too, I've noticed. So, you know, you just really need to get, what you need to do is die out to your flesh. You need to sell yourself out to God totally and completely, 100%. And since we went through 10 or 12 years of hell, the whole church did, and we made a whole lot of mistakes in those 10 to 12 years. We really did. And now we've learned from our mistake, have we not? Thank you. Now, we're not going to go back there again. We now know that Satan had set up a plot to destroy our walk with God. He set up a little plot and plan to take the church out. And it did take some of the church out. And it did cause the rest of us to really cry out to God. And it really did cause the rest of us to question our walk with God. Let's be honest about the whole thing. But God in His sovereignty, He came to us with His truth, His revelation. He set our feet back on the rock again, this time to stay. This time we won't be blown away by every little bit of wind that comes our way. And now it's time the body of Christ now stays grown up. And it's time the body of Christ walks in the new revelation that God has been showing us. And it's time they walk in the fullness of all that God has called us to walk in. You can't go back and think about the mistakes you did because you can't change them. But I'm hoping the mistakes we did make has grown us up. And we aren't going to allow those same mistakes. I'm believing we're not going to allow the mistakes to happen ever again, period. I tell God I don't want to ever make another mistake as long as I walk with you. Because every mistake I make affects somebody else. Whether good, bad, or indifferent, it affects somebody else along the road. And I don't want to ever be a stumbling block to anybody. You understanding this? Excuse me, the Word of God has an awful lot of woes to those who are stumbling blocks to others. And God has placed within me a tenacity that I cannot sit by and watch somebody else continue down the road of sin without going and confronting them about it. There's just something, God has just placed something in me. And really my voice is harsh when I confront people too because they know better. I'm saying, God, let me do this a little bit gentle-like. No, there's no gentleness in it. It's just there. This is the way it is. Now, you face it. You get over it. You know, get rid of this junk. Because I can't use you, God is saying, I can't use you in the mess that you're in. And, you know, so many of the body of Christ have themselves so self-deceived. God told me self-deception is one of the worst enemies in the body of Christ. They think they're okay. They think everything they're doing is just fine. And they have their eyes and ears closed to the truth. And I don't care who God sends their way, they will not receive the truth because, after all, I'm there. I know who I am. Come on. God loves you too much to let you go astray. He loves you too much to watch you sit in a pigsty. He has to nudge you some way, some shape, some form. And He usually uses a person or a situation. So please do yourself a favor. Do not close your eyes to the truth when God starts revealing it to you. Please keep your eyes wide open and your ears clear of rubbish. And just do what God is telling you to do. Some of you new guys in here, God wants to use you. He wants to start speaking to you about your friends. Are you ready to take them a bad word? Are you ready to go to them and say, you know, God showed me you're doing this, this, and this, and if you don't straighten out, you're going to go to hell. Are you willing to, because this is where God is at. It's, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. The gray area, totally gone, which never was, but it's totally gone. And God says, either black or white. God's saying to me, to ask you, are you going to finish your course well? Are you going to finish it with your head held high? Are you going to finish it with a victory flag in your hand? Or are you going to have to crawl over it in shame? You know, it's up to each one of us, right? Each one of us. You ladies are doing the ladies' conferences. You've got to be holy. You've got to be open for the voice of God to speak to you. And you have to be out of your flesh. And you have to be in the Spirit. So when you're ministering to other women, you're not giving them a mixture. You're giving them the truth. The whole truth. Are you listening here? Because of the death of Jesus, his death and resurrection, Christ united God and man and satisfied for that wrong which caused the separation. By his Spirit, he worked those graces of faith and love by which we are made one with God and among ourselves, which is unity. See, God's been trying to bring the body of Christ into unity. First of all, he's been trying to bring families into unity. God's been working for a couple of years now to bring families into unity. And the families that wouldn't come into unity, God's bypassing them. The mate that won't come into unity will be taken out of that situation. Because God's not going to have the other mate contaminated by your disunity. That's just the way it is, whether you like it or not. That's the way it is. God has to separate the wheat from the chaff so he can use his wheat to its fullest purpose. Amen? He dispenses all his blessings according to his good pleasure. God said he wants to bless the body of Christ. He no longer wants to curse it. We did walk under a curse for a few years. We really did. Whether you want to believe that or not, and you're self-deceived if you don't believe that. Because the body of Christ, just listen to some of the pastors. They've been talking about it for a couple of years now. There was a curse over the church. But that curse has been lifted and God's brought his grace. The curse was because the church wasn't lining up with the Word of God. And he had to bring the curse to get your attention. And now that he got your attention, what you should be doing is selling out to the Father, giving your all to him, being a vessel of honor and a vessel of love. He's saying this is where the rubber meets the road tonight. Which road are you going to take? You're going to take the road of correction? Or are you going to keep deceiving yourself? Holiness is where the truth is, in holiness. I'm not even sorry. You guys have got to get out of your sins. I remember whenever a young couple came to the church when I had it at my home, and they were loved each other desperately, and they were living together, and they heard the word. They came to me the next day. And they said, Pastor, we've been living in sin, but we want to get out of it. And we want to get married. So they quit living in the same house, planned their wedding, and got married, and then lived together. They're the happiest people that you're one to meet. They said, we thought we could go ahead and live together, and it wouldn't matter. But we were still saved. We were told we could do that. Well, whoever told you could do that is a liar. You can't do that. You can't sit in here and hear the word and go out there and drink either. You can't sit in here and hear the word and go out there and watch pornography. You can't sit in here and go out there and be a whoremonger. You can't do that. That's not holiness. That's not holiness. So God wants to separate the wheat from the chaff tonight. And what do you want? What do you have to give God? Do you have your all to give him? Because that's all he's going to accept tonight. And if you're one of those that haven't given him your all yet, or if you're just one of those that just want to receive whatever he's given, whatever anointing he's given tonight, the altar's open. But the altar is open for those who want to get out of sin and want to give God their all, and they want to live from this day forward as a holy, righteous child of God, serving a holy, righteous King.